If you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Hebrews. We'll turn to the 11th chapter tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. We know that this chapter is the great Hall of Faith chapter. I want to begin reading in verse 32. I believe Paul is our writer here, inspired of the Holy Spirit, speaking about by faith Noah and by faith Abraham and so on and so forth. And he comes down to verse 32 and he says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." That's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 40, if correctly read. When we look in these verses tonight, the first thing I think of is the promotion of faith. The promotion of faith. We know that the Scripture says, and this is Jesus' words, have faith in God. We know that Jesus said, if you will ask anything in my name, I will do it. We know that Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Faith is being promoted. I'm sitting, just flipping through my Bible, just backwards through the Gospels. And on every page, and sometimes three and four times, on a page, I'd see the word faith, 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 faith. It's about having faith in God. We look at verse 32, and we're certainly encouraged that God can and God is able. When we see verse 32, the very first name there we see is Gideon. And we remember how Gideon had thousands and thousands of men with him, and God said, you've got too many, and you need to weed them down, and send away all those that are afraid. And that cut the crowd down. And then it took them to a watering hole, and all those that got down and lapped like a dog, he said, send that crowd home too. But the ones that scoop up the water and lap it up with their head still up looking for an enemy, that's your crowd. That's who I'm going to use to fight the battle. And God, with 300 people, gave a great victory to Gideon against a great host of the enemy. Gideon became one of the judges of Israel. And I say tonight to you, church, God is able. Amen. Our God can. Amen. I think about Barak. I think about Samson. I think about Jephthah. All of those men, Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, were all four great judges. And time would fail me to preach all these things that God blessed them with. But all four of their testimonies is, God is able, and our God can. He mentions David. Think about David, little David, that God raised up to be the king of all Israel. And here he's been anointed to be king, and there's a great giant standing in the valley, over 9 feet tall, that opposes all of Israel. And nobody amongst the Jews can defeat this man. But old David thought, my God is able. And my God can. Bless God, is there not a cause? And they put a suit of armament on him. But he said, I've not earned this. I don't know nothing about this. But he's going to take a sling with five smooth stones and a staff in his hand. And he runs out to meet the enemy. And for the first time, he slung that rock, and God had directed the first sin-seeking missile and hit Goliath right between the eyes. And I'm sure he said, boy, that never went through my mind before. Fell to the ground. And David jumped up on top of him and took Goliath's own sword and chopped Goliath's head off. I mean, time would fail me to tell you the miracles that God wrought for David. But David would say to us tonight, our God is able and our God can. Hallelujah. Amen. The scripture mentions also about Samuel. Many great works Samuel did. I remember how he anointed Saul. He also anointed David to be king. These two great men that he anointed. Look, my mind goes back to Saul and how he was disobedient to God. And he let the Amalekites, some of them, live, and King Agag. And Samuel came down there and said, what are you doing, Saul? And he said, I've been obedient to what God said do. And he said, what's this bleating of the sheep that I hear? What is this lowing of the oxen that's going on? And Saul said, well, it's not my fault, it's the people's fault. They put pressure on me, and we've let some of them live. And we know that Samuel rebuked from that very time King Saul. And the Lord was departed from that time from King Saul. And you remember what Samuel did? Samuel, the man of God, took a sword and cut Agag down and killed him right on the spot. I remember that time Brother Percy Ray took the sword of the Spirit, walked into Balfour Baptist Church and preached to me and run that sword through my spirit, amen, and put me that was dead in trespass and sin. He quickened me, amen. Jesus made me to become alive after I got saved. Let me tell you something. The Word of God is a powerful sword. Time would fail me, but Samuel would stand up tonight and say, our God can. And our God is able. You see how they accomplished these things, this promotion of faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. What about Daniel? When they said, if you open the window and pray, you're going to be thrown in the lion's den. He opened his window and prayed anyway. You know why? Because he said, my God can, my God's able. And they took Daniel that night and threw him down into the lion's den that he might lay down there and be killed by those lions. But God came that night and closed up the mouth of those lions, amen. And the next morning, that old king that had been up all night, that had sentenced Daniel to that lion's den, came down there to where he was and said, Daniel, is the God you serve able to deliver you? And King old Daniel said, hey, king, live forever. My God is able. Some people say, well, them lions were old and they weren't hungry and they were toothless. Well, that crowd that made up the law to have Daniel thrown in the lion's den, they took that crowd and throwed them in the lion's den, and before their feet ever hit the ground, God had that whole bunch chewed up by them lions. Hey, the lion is also represented by the devil. I'm glad tonight that our God is able, through faith, to close the mouth of the devil as he roars against God's people. Our God can. Our God is able. How they quenched the violence of fire. You remember the three Hebrew children? You remember that? What did they say? The king said, you're going to bow down to me. And they said, king, we're not careful to answer you about this matter. We're going to tell you right now, we're not going to bow down to you or your God. Our God is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us. Amen. And we remember, as they were cast into the fiery furnace, bound, the king looked and said, didn't we throw three men in bound? Yeah, we did. Well, I see four men walking. Amen. Loose. And the fourth man is likened unto the Son of God. Amen. Our God can. And our God is able to show up in the fiery trials in which you and I go through. The Bible says that they escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Hey, you remember the little widow woman at Zarephath? You know that after she came and gave the cake for the man of God and the meal bearer wasted not, that soon after that her little boy did die. You remember that Elijah raised him up by faith in God? You remember Elisha told a lady one time, said, about this time next year you're going to have a child. And the little boy laid down and he went out to the field and got with a sunstroke or something, came back and said, my head, laid down in his mother's lap and died. She picked the boy up, took him to his room, saddled up the beast, and rode out down to the man of God. The servant called him and said, what are you doing here? Is there any problem? She said, it is well. She ran up to where the man of God was, caught him by his feet, and she told him what was going on there. And Elisha told his servant Gehazi, take my staff and lay on the boy, because I believe God can and God's able. Gehazi run down there, laid the staff on the boy, nothing happened. He had no faith. He came right back and he said, Elisha, nothing's happened. Elisha said, no, I'm going to tell you, my God can and my God's able. And he went down there and stretched himself over that little boy. And God raised that little boy back up to life. Amen. And that boy, hey, that man of God gave that little boy back to his mother. Women had their children brought back to life, raised back to life again, given right into their very arms. Boy, I tell you what, friend, it pays to have faith in God, doesn't it? We ought to have faith in God at all times. Our God is able, and our God can. That's the promotion of faith. Number two tonight, I want you to see the pain of faith. The what, preacher? The pain of faith. The Bible says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. A friend, I want to say to you tonight, don't you think that these that were slain, these that were sawn asunder, these that were tortured, these that were tempted, these that were tried, don't you think they had faith too? Stephen had faith. He believed our God can, our God's able. But he got stoned to death for it. Paul got his head chopped off for it. Jerome, the historian, would tell us that Isaiah, that great man of God, was sawed right in two by Manasseh, that wicked king. Didn't Isaiah, the man of God, have faith? I mean, I could go on and on and on about people that were martyred for your faith. Hey, for their faith. Listen, the pain of faith is this. What are you going to do when God doesn't respond to you like you think he needs to? Deep water now, ain't we? I mean, we said a minute ago, our God can and our God's able. Wait a minute, preacher. Now, wait a minute. You mean there's another side to this thing? Oh, yeah, there's another side to faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I'm going to tell you that Stephen and Paul, they had faith. They had faith in the delivery of God. Hey, sometimes God's delivery isn't necessarily immediate. It may be ultimate, but it may not be immediate. What are you going to do about that? Huh? The Bible says, look with me. The Bible says in verse 35, and others. That word and means to be like-minded. In other words, it links these two together. One crowd had faith in God, that God is able, and the other crowd had the same faith. One crowd was delivered and one crowd was not. Hey, I want to say something to you tonight. Probably won't make real good preaching where I went to school. They won't be real happy with me about saying it. But I'm going to tell you this. Not every time is it meant for you to be delivered. It may sadden your countenance to know that, but I'm going to ask this question. Does it take more faith to be constantly delivered and miracle after miracle being worked in your life? Or does it take more faith just to keep enduring, though there's torture, though there's trials, though there's torments? Does it take more faith to keep enduring, or does it take more faith to be delivered constantly? So there is a pain to faith tonight. Now I want you to see something here about this pain to faith. And if you hold your place, don't lose your place, Turn back with me to the book of Daniel chapter 6, and we've already referenced this, or Daniel chapter 3. I want you to see this tonight in Daniel chapter number 3. There's going to be times people talk about you. There's going to be times you're going to suffer some verbal abuse and maybe some type of physical abuse. What are you going to do when it happens? What's it going to happen when things don't turn around? What are you going to do? Preacher, what are you trying to say to me? That it's not going to happen for me? Oh, listen, I believe it will happen for you. But the key is it's the will of God. May the will of God be done. In Daniel chapter number 3, I want you to see this, verse 16. The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, answered and said to the king, verse 16, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king, but if not, took a lot of faith to say, but if not. You may say tonight, preacher, I think those are words of doubt. I dare say to you that those are not words of doubt. Those are words of certainty. They said, O king, our God will deliver us out of your hand. In other words, if we burn to death in that fire, God's going to take us home to paradise. We're going to be delivered from you, pal. We'll have ultimate victory. There is ultimate delivery, ultimate victory for the child of God tonight. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They said, if God doesn't respond like we think he will, we're still not going to bow down to you. We're still not going to bow down to the enemy. We're going to keep serving God, though it may hair-lip us to death. We're going to stay serving God. There is a pain to faith. And friend, tonight, does it take more faith to say, but if not, we're going to keep serving God anyway. To endure rather than to be delivered all the time. I say to you, it does take more faith. I want you to see thirdly tonight. I want you to see not only the promotion of faith and the pain of faith, but I want you to see the perseverance of faith. The Bible says again in verse 35 of Hebrews 11, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Aha, preacher. I've got a hole in your message right there, a real problem when the Bible says they would not accept deliverance. In other words, the Lord would have delivered them, but they wouldn't accept it. That's not what is meant by this text. Now, I have heard that story before about that man that was in the flood. And a guy came through there and told him, you better get out of here before the river washes your house away and you drown. And he said, I'm going to trust God. And he rode the storm out and the waters rose. Fella come by in a rowboat and said, listen, mister, you can hop on with me and we'll get you out of here. He said, it's all right, I'm trusting God. He went up to the second floor as the water continued to rise. And a man came by in a big old speedboat and stopped and said, mister, you can get in with me. And he said, listen, I'm trusting God. This thing's just about over. The water kept rising. He climbed out on top of the roof of the house. And the helicopter came and they let down the ladder for him and said, just grab on the ladder and climb up. We'll take you out of here. He said, no, I'm trusting God. The water kept rising, washed his house away, and he drowned. He was a Christian. He met the Lord. He said, Lord, I don't understand it. I said I was trusting you. I said I was trusting you. I said I was trusting you. But where was you at? He said, I sent you a rowboat, a speedboat, and a helicopter, and you wouldn't take them. That's about the way we do, ain't it? We say we're trusting God. Many times we won't accept the deliverance of God. But that is not what that text is about. You see, there was all kinds of torture chambers that the Romans had. They knew just how to torture people. That's how they learned about crucifixion. They'd put a man on a table, and they would tie him down to that table and stretch his arms and his legs out. And down at the bottom of it, they had a great big wheel, and a man would turn that wheel, cranking just a little at a time. And what it was doing, it was stretch this person apart. And it would pull the hand from the wrist, and the wrist from the arm, and the arm from the elbow, and the elbow from the shoulder, and the shoulder from the body, and so on and so forth throughout the whole body, just stretching them. And another person standing up here saying, if you will deny your faith in Jesus Christ, we'll let you off this table. If you'll deny your faith in Jesus Christ, we'll let you live a little longer. You see, the Bible said others were tortured, and they would not accept deliverance. In other words, they would not deny the Lord. Though there was a pain to their faith, they would not deny the Lord, and they kept persevering. I don't know what you may be facing right now tonight, and I don't know what you're going to face this next week, but it just may be that you're going to be put into some type of pressure situation. You may not have to publicly say, I'm going to deny my faith, but we're going to see if you're going to keep trusting God or not. When the devil says, I'll let this be a little easier on you. Let me tell you something. There is pleasure in living in sin, but for a season. And the season will pass. And my friend, there will be a payday for it. And it's going to cost you more than you want to pay. It's going to keep you longer than you want to stay. And we go on and on down that avenue. This crowd, the Bible says, they would not accept that deliverance. They would not deny their Lord. Why? That they might obtain a better resurrection. Amen. That when they see Jesus, they won't have to hang their head and say, I denied you, Lord. Amen. That the Lord's going to look at them at the resurrection and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear that tonight, church? What if it don't happen like you think? What if delivery don't come the way you think? Are you going to keep serving him? Oh, I hope tonight you'll say, Lord, though you slay me, I'll serve you. I'm going to trust you every step of the way with my life, with my family, with everything. I'm going to trust you. Sometimes the will of God will lead us through a trial. And sometimes the will of God will leave us in trial. My wife has MS. Everybody knows that. Some days it's terrible. And I'll say this. We pray that she'll get better at all the time. Our God's able. My God can. But if not, she and I are going to keep serving him. Well, preacher, you don't face cancer. Not yet. Preacher, you don't face heart attack. Not yet. But I'm going to tell you, I've been through some things in the ministry where the devil said, listen, this thing will get a whole lot easier if you just renounce it. You go back to work in a public job again. You can make a lot more money. You can be a whole lot more successful. Why don't you just go back and give this up? Can't do it. Can't do it. The God that called me, I'm going to keep on keeping on for his glory. Don't just want to walk away. Not going to accept deliverance that I might obtain a better resurrection. I think about, fourthly tonight, the prevalence of faith. The Bible says, look with me, about this crowd, these trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, of bonds and imprisonment, being stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with a sword, wandering about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And you're going to tell me your sob story, and I'm going to tell you mine, but we have nothing compared to what these folks went through. The next verse says, of whom the world was not worthy. That's the prevalence of faith. God said, in parentheses, the world was not worthy of such people that would be willing to lose their life for my sake that they might gain eternity. Whew. Whew. Amen. I'll say then that the other side of faith, for our God can and our God is able, but if not, we're going to endure by faith. And it's going to be okay. Friend, I say tonight, now a lot of us are more interested in immediate deliverance than ultimate deliverance. But God praises this crowd whom the world despised. And he praised this crowd who is more interested in the ultimate deliverance than the immediate deliverance. I want to say this to you tonight, and I'm done. Can you trust God
Yes, you can. Can you trust him when you can't see his hand on your life? When you can't see him right ahead leading and guiding? Can you still trust his hand? Huh? Can you trust his heart? Huh? Many people judge the love of God based on their circumstances. You cannot base the love of God based on your circumstances. And you, how many prayer requests you've had answered. Preacher, how do we measure the love of God? It is measureless. But where I'd start is with a cross. Jesus knew. He said, have faith in God. Ask, seek, knock. He knew that his God, his Father, could. He knew his Father was able. But he went to that cross, willing and did lay down his life that you and I might be saved. Whew. Faith that endures.